Okay, this week is Parshas Balak. Balak, what's the after? Regular after, right?
Yeah, that's
cool.
I want to answer that question.
Regular after.
They don't stop at three.
No, that's not until Shavuot with Hamas, even though it's a Nidche. No, it's a good. You're making a very good point.
You make four.
Gimel de Paranus, only three. It's a total of ten. There are a total of ten special haftarahs. Zayin de Nechemta and Gimel de Paranus. There are three haftarahs of punishment, and then there are seven of Nechama for a total of ten. Whatever the reasons are. But I always get confused when there's a nidche, there are different minhagim. Okay, so I want to clarify. I didn't look it up. I didn't get a chance to look it up. But well, let's see. For the moment, let's focus on the parasha. Let's focus on today. Today is the 16th day of Tammuz. It's a very significant day. Why is it very significant? Well, let's work backwards. Tomorrow is Shavuos b'Tammuz. What happened on Shavuos b'Tammuz? Five things. Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchais. Number two, what was the second thing that happened? Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchais. Number two, the Talmud was bottled. Apotamos burned a Sefer Torah, and they put a Tselem in the Heichel, and the most significant thing for us is the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Okay, so let's review them again one more time. What are the five things? Important to know the five things. Number one, the Luchais were shattered. The walls of Yerushalayim were breached. The Talmud came to... What? The
Talmud was bottled.
First the siege and the Talmud ended.
Right.
And then the walls were breached.
The walls were breached.
That's the third one.
And the second one is?
The siege began on
Asar B'Teves.
The order you gave it to us was...
Okay, I'm not... Forget about the order. The only thing we need five things. Number one, the Luchos... doesn't matter the order. Forget about the order. It's not relevant for our discussion. The Luchos were shattered. The walls were breached. The walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Number three... the Talmud came to an end. Number four, Apotamos, he burnt the Sefer Torah. And number five, He'emidu Tselem Beheichel. These are the five things listed in Masechta Talmud. In Masechta Talmud. Now, okay, Rabbi Scott, please. Five things. Now, if this is what happened, if these are the five things that happened in Shavuos b'Tammuz, let's... Okay, please. Okay. If these are the five things that happened in Shavuos b'Tammuz, what does that mean for today? Is today a day of joy, or is today a day of tsar? Today is a very significant day in that, let's look back, we're just going to throw around ideas. Today was the last day that we offered the Talmud. Now, by the way, we talk about offering the Talmud, there's a question, is the Talmud of the Bayis Rish or the Bayis Sheni? The last three things, they put at Salem in the Heichel, the Talmud's bottle, and they burnt the Sefer Torah. Did these things happen during the Tekuv of the Bayis Sheni or the Bayis Rishon? That's a topic of discussion. There are opinions that go both ways. But in any event, whatever they were significant events, which means that today, the day before Shavuos b'Tammuz, was the last day that we offered the Karban Tamid. Isn't that significant? It's Chaviv, because we are in Galus. And we don't have any more with us the opportunity to bring a real carbon. We don't appreciate even what a carbon is all about. But the last day of the calendar year that we can appreciate, that we can connect to the fact that we once upon a time had a carbon tamid is today. Because on Shavuos b'Tammuz, the tamid was not offered. It's a chavivus. It's a chavivus to connect to the day when we still have the tamid. The Sefer Torah, which Sefer Torah was burned by Apotamos? Some say it was the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Some say it was the Sefer Torah of Ezra. Or it was another Sefer Torah that was very significant. But that means that today was the last day that we can connect. We have a Sefer Torah. They put a Tselem in the Heichal. That was tomorrow. Today is the last day we can connect with the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was a Mokom of Kedusha Utahara. On Shavuos b'Tammuz, the walls were breached. The Goyim penetrated. They contaminated the holy Yerushalayim. That means today is a very good day, because today is the last day that we can connect with the fact Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The Kiddush of Yerushalayim is still intact. But what about the Luchas? Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchas on Shivasa B'Tamos. But that's not an isolated event. The shattering of the Luchas was in response to the making of the Egel today. Today was the day when Klal Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kum Asei Lanu Elohim. Ki Voishesh Moshe, 12 o'clock today is not a good time. 12 o'clock today is the anniversary of the moment when Klal Yisrael said to Aaron, Aaron, where is Moshe? Ki Voishesh Moshe, he's late. It's not like Moshe to be late. It must be that he died. Kum! Asei lanu Elohim, let us make the egel. Aaron pushed them off. There's only that much he could do. They already killed Chor. They collected jewelry. And tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning, is when they took the gold, they put it into the fire, and came out the egel, Hazav. They started dancing. Moshe comes down, he sees them dancing, he shatters the luchas. The shattering of the Luchos relates back to the event that happened today. So look what's going on over here. Today is Erev, Shavasa B'Tamos. Mitzad Echad, there are four things that are very, very, very enjoyable, are very significant in a very positive sense. Because tomorrow, what happens tomorrow with regard to the Talmud has no relation to what happens today. With regard to the breaching of the walls, they held out another day. The four other things of the five events that happened on Shavuot B'Tamuz have no relationship to what happens today. Today was a Yom Chaviv in that it was our goodbye. It was the last time when a person, you say goodbye, there's something very special. This was the last time that Klal Yisrael had the opportunity to offer the Karban Tamid to the Ribbono Shel Olam because the animals ran out. There was a siege, whatever the situation was, the animals ran out. It was our parting carbon from Hashem. It was the last day where the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was intact. The last day when we had that holy Sefer Torah from Moshe, from Ezra, or from whoever the significance of that Sefer Torah was. But today, when it comes to the Luchas, okay, we had the Luchas. We didn't really have the Luchas. The Luchas was in Shemayim, so we can't even say that we had the Luchas. But today on this earth, which relates to the Luchas, what's going to happen tomorrow is what put into motion the shattering of the Luchas tomorrow with the worshipping of the Egel. So the Musar Haskel is always this principle called Zeh Le'uma Zeh. At times of an Eis Ratzon, at the times where it's a day. Okay, even though these events are going to happen in the future, we're making believe now that all of time is merged into one cycles of time. This day, today, Erev Shavuos B'Tamuz, is a yom that mitzad echad is chaviv ad me'od. Mitzad sheni, the worst tragedy in the world happened today. Where Klal Yisrael said after 40 days of witnessing the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, and to murder Chor, they murdered a Navi today. They murdered Chor today. And to say to Aaron, Asei lanu Elohim, Asher yelchu lefaneinu, that's a terrible thing. That's the nature of this world. We always find in this world parallels. The more of a zman of it being an Eis Ratzon, a time of endearment, a time of chiba, a time of closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goodbyes are very emotional. And people, when they know your children come for you for Yom Tov, and after they spend with you a week or two in your home, and then it's time for them to leave, it's a very emotional experience. When they pack up all their bags, and they get in the car, and they go back somewhere far away, or when you go visit someone in Eretz Yisrael, saying goodbye is a very emotional experience. It brings out a lot of feeling. It's an Eis Ratzon. Today is the day when we pretty much say goodbye to Hashem. We now begin the Golus. We still have the Talmud today. We still have Yerushalayim. We still have the Sefer Torah. What am I missing? I left that one thing. the Sefer Torah, the Talmud, the Heichel, the Kedusha, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still intact. There is no Tzelem yet in the Heichel. Everything is still pristine. But we know that today is the last day. We know that we have to say goodbye. And saying goodbye is a painful experience. The Kruvim were... did not, we know the miracle, the Kruvim, the time of the Mizman She'en Yisrael Yisrael Mitzvah Shalom Makam, the Kruvim did not look at one another. But when the Churban happened, it was a time to say goodbye, the Kruvim, they faced one another. A time of Pirda is a very holy moment. The Satan does not tolerate an Eis Ratzon. The Satan will do everything in his power to take away from us a zman that's misugal for good things. And unfortunately, it's not a coincidence that on this very day, which is the zman of Ratzayin, the Satan was able to persuade Klal Yisrael to get the better of them, to go and say the most horrible words in the history of the world, Asay lanu Elohim, make for us a God, Asher yelchu lefoneinu, and we fell for it. And the Musar Haskel is, whenever a person finds himself in an Eis Ratzon, you have to be on guard a million times more than the normal, because the Satan does not take these things lightly. There's always a desire to take away from us what is Chaviv, where we have a close connection to Hashem. Okay, let's go to another idea. Next thing, the parasha begins, Yar Balak ben Tzipor, Eis Kol Asher Asa Yisrael Lo'e Mori. The Farshim take note, we have two goyim in the Torah who made observations. Yisro and Balak. Yisro, the pasuk begins, Vayishma Yisro. Eis, who has the pasuk, Vayishma Yisro? We heard, Eis Kol Asher Asa Hashem Li Yisrael, everything that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, Asher Hitzil Min Mitzrayim, V'chulu V'chulu, Yisrael, he heard everything that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael. Balak is a non-Jew, just like Yisrael started out as a non-Jew, and the parasha begins that he saw, Vayar Balak Ben Tzipor, Eis Kol Asher Asa Yisrael Lo Emori, he saw what the Jewish people did to Sichon and Oik, the Emori, Sichon Melech HaEmori, Sichon, they wiped out Sichon, and of course, this is only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the power to do so. Miracles, incredible miracles, that are Maila Miderech HaTeva, and last week's parasha tells us that it was just that to conquer, for Klal Yisrael to conquer Oik, it's just impossible. Nisin Gluyim. And what was Balak's reaction? Balak's reaction is, we have to do something about this to stop this nation from continuing. We have to find the solution. And the solution is, he ended up hiring Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. When Yisrael witnessed a supernatural event, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. And what did that involve? It involved the defeat and the Churban of a whole country, Melech Mitzrayim. What was a greater miracle? I ask you, what was a greater miracle? To wipe out the Egyptians or to wipe out Sichon? Sichon and Oig, the king of Emori. I don't know. I don't know which one was a greater miracle. But they basically, let's even assume they're equal. Let's assume they're both, Chazal described, I mean, we know about Yetzias Mitzrayim quite a bit. No slave ever left Egypt. And for a whole nation to leave Egypt, this is something which is totally off the charts. And Rashi in last week's parasha describes the miracle of conquering Og. It's something which is not to be understood. How the land itself does not allow it to be conquered, because the nature of the land and Sichon himself was just beyond understanding, his might and his power. For Klal Yisrael both to conquer Sichon in his land, this is impossible. And yet they succeeded. How did Yisro react? Yisro decided he wants to join Klal Yisrael. How did Balak react? Balak decided to do everything in his power to destroy Klal Yisrael. How could that be? And let us emphasize the question. The word used in regard to Yisro is Vayishma. The word used in regard to Balak is Vayar Balak. Which of the two is a more powerful expression? Or Chazal say, Eina doime shmiya liriya. A picture is worth 1,000 words. I know there are different perushim, but let's assume the simplest interpretation is that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Ri'iya is infinitely greater than shmiya. You can listen, you can read the paper, you read the New York Times, you read a report exactly what happened, you're impressed. But if you see it firsthand, if you have a degree, an understanding that is described in the terms of ri'iya, that is a much, much greater appreciation, a much deeper understanding.
But a deaf person is an obligate mitzvah, a blind person is.
A deaf person, okay, that's a separate issue. That's a good question, but it's a side question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer now. But on a very simple level, einoi doime shmiya liriya. Seeing something is on a level that is much deeper, much more powerful than listening to a report of what happened. So what would we expect from these two candidates if only one of them would convert, would decide to join Klal Yisrael and become a member of Klal Yisrael? Who do and one would decide to destroy Klal Yisrael because they're afraid that they're next? Who would we expect to be the one that will join Klal Yisrael and the one that would try to destroy Klal Yisrael? Balak should be the Yisrael. Balak should be the one, when he hears about these incredible miracles, I want to be part of the team. I want to join. If you can't beat him, join them. So Balak should be the one that should join Klal Yisrael. And Yisrael, who is an Oyved Avodah Zarah, he worshipped every single idol under the sun, and he tried to kill Moshe. He was no friend to Klal Yisrael. All of a sudden, a change of heart. And his level of comprehension is only Vayishma, a much, much lower level of understanding. So how could this be? How could it be that Balak is the one that wants to destroy us and does not want to join us, and it's Yisrael who's the one that wants to join us and not destroy us? So the answer is obviously it's a matter of attitude. We don't really know. We don't really know what makes people tick. We don't know. But there's a very powerful mussar. Just because a person is wiser, is smarter, is more brilliant, it means absolutely nothing. That's the Musa Haskell. Yisrael, Balak was zoiche to Re'iyah. It's basically the same stories. In the big picture of things, it's Nisim Geluyim. Nisim Geluyim, what Klal Yisrael did to Sichon, even though we discussed what we did, but it's only to the Koyach of Hashem. And when it comes to Balak, Yisrael, it's what Hashem did to Klal Yisrael. You want to maybe focus on that element? Okay, you can. That's also part of the question. Why did he focus on us? What we did? He did not take into account Hashem. That's all part of the answer. He looked at what we did. He didn't view the Yad Hashem. Whereas Yisrael, he viewed the Yad Hashem. Did not take a look at us. But why? They see all of the information, and Balak was far, far more brilliant, more knowledgeable than Yisro, because the Torah describes his knowledge in the form of Re'iyah. It's clearly, you would say, that Yisro didn't even have a high school diploma. And Balak had 20 doctorates, and was an inventor, and won every Nobel Prize you can possibly imagine. And he was the greatest scientist. Vayar means he had the full picture. He saw it all. And Yisrael, nu shvach mensch, vayishma, relative to Balak, he didn't even finish elementary school. He didn't know how to read and write. And yet, he decided, I'm going to join Klal Yisrael. The answer is, that's the Musa Haskam. It doesn't matter your intelligence. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's a matter of Ratzon. It's a matter, there's an element of Yirah Shamayim. For some reason, which we don't really know, the Yirah Shamayim of Yisrael triggered a desire to join Klal Yisrael. Bilam, his lack of Yirah Shamayim, triggered the desire to destroy Klal Yisrael. And even though you'll say, but he was super, super brilliant, Riyah, and he was a Shvacha person, Shemiyah, Guess what? It didn't make one bit of a difference. And that's the Musar Hasel. No matter what matzav a person finds himself, he should not say to himself, if only I had the kishroinais of so-and-so, if only I had the wealth of so-and-so, if only I had the yishuv hadas of so-and-so, then I would be an oyver Hashem. But because I'm limited in my koichos and one of my abilities, so therefore it's not for me. Look at the contrast between these two people. One is a re'iyah, one is a shemiyah, one knew everything much, much better, one knew everything much, much less, and yet the one that knew had much less to offer relative to Balak is the one who joined Klal Yisrael. Mr. Nana, before I forgot to mention, tomorrow's yard site. Tomorrow, our chaver of Yaakov Neumann has a yard site for his father. So we're going to learn Lezechul Ilidishras, his father, Tzvi Ben Rav Yaakov. He's Neshav Avon Aliyah. Got a question?
Yeah. I saw recently a message that Yisrael went to be Megayo in Mishpachto.
Yeah.
And Balak was an ankle in Israel.
Was an Enoch. Okay, fine.
Okay.
Just it's a simple point. It's a simple point. You see the contrast between two individuals who were presented with the same facts, and one was weak, one was strong, and yet the one that was weak decided to take the leap. And the one that was strong, pumfa keret. We learn this yisoid, it does not matter. The Yirah Shemayim is what is the Ikar. It does not matter your kashroinos, your understanding, where you're coming from, because according to our limited understanding of what we would expect, it should have been just the opposite. And that's a very powerful limit. A person should be able to realize that the person can accomplish great things even if he is very limited. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a very interesting Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin that tells us something which is off the charts, that is... Bilam was none other than Lavan Harami. So Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that who Bilam, who Kushan Rish Asoyin, he was a king of Aram, one of the kings of Aram. What? In the time of the Shoftim, Umash Shemoi, what was his real name? His real name was Lavan Harami. Bilam who loved Rashi. In fact, he alludes to Rashi over here in the beginning of the parashah. He talks about it. Rashi starts comparing Bilam to Lavan. Rashi actually alludes to the fact that there's a relationship between Bilam and Lavan. How could that possibly be? They lived approximately 300 years apart. So how could Lavan be Bilam? I don't have an answer. Either you'll take it very literally that indeed 300 years in ancient times is not the first person that we find, maybe, possibly, we don't know, could have lived that long. Or Chazal means something else. I'm not going into the world of Kabbalah. Don't get me going there. I'm not going to tell you the Merami Pano will tell you that it's a Gilgul. Okay, we're not going there. It means that Chazal viewed that their outlook on life, their ideology, they shared a very similar ideology, an outlook on life, a hashkaf, an approach to life. They're the same hashkafa. If you'll be able to find direct parallels between in the outlook of life between Lavan and Bilam. That's an amazing idea. It opens up for us a whole new collection of ideas. First thing I want to point out is Bilam. I'm just throwing out open ideas. Bilam. I'll give you some examples. Let's start with one example. The first time Bilam appears in the parasha, the people of Midian, Balak, says, come, I want you to come to my land, and we have a job for you. So what is the first thing that he says? Whatever Hashem says, I'm going to do. The Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever he says, I'm not going to, I have to first ask, such a tzaddik, right? Such a, like a Rebbe, a great tzaddik. It depends upon the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then 5 minutes later, then Hashem tells him, don't go, I don't want you to go. He wakes up, but he wakes up in the morning, and he says to the Bnei Shalom, I can't go. They send more people, and he decides, I'm going to go. You're a liar. You start off in the parasha by telling the people that you'll do whatever Hashem tells you to do. Look, let me read the words of the Pasuk. They send messengers. Let's see what it says. V'yato l'cho arali, they ask him, please curse us. And what does he say? V'yoymer aleim l'info halayla. V'hashivos yeschem davar kasher yidaber Hashem Eloi. Whatever Hashem tells me what to do. He is the boss. Hashem says, don't go. He wakes up in the morning and he tells them, I can't go. Okay. What?
I can't go.
No, he lied. Rashi says he lied to them. He said, basically, I can't go. He lied to them. Hashem said, don't go. You're not choshev enough. The limousine is not comfortable enough for me to travel in. That's what he said. Okay. So I need more covet. So then what happens? They send more men. And then what does he say? Vayan, he says then, they come a second time, and he says, let me see what Hashem tells me to do. And Hashem says, if you really want to go, go. Even though I told you not to go, you really want to go, go. What's going on? He is now violating Hashem's command. Hashem gets angry. The next one, Vayicharaf Hashem. Rashi says, I told you not to go. You know that I don't want you to do this. Why are you going? Vayicharaf Elokim. Pasuk of Beis. Roho Shadov Rab Ein Hamakim. He saw that it was Ra and still Vinis Avelelech. Hashem was angry in the fact that Bilam knew good and well that Hashem did not want him to go, and he says, I'm going to go anyway. Who did exactly the same thing? Lavan. Lavan was saying that Bilam is Lavan. Bilam is Lavan. That's what we're starting with. Lavan did exactly the same thing. What happened? Yitzchak comes, Eliezer comes to find the shidduch for Yitzchak. And he meets Rivka. And he tells them, and he comes into their house and he tells them the entire story. Vayan, Lavan, Ubisuel, what do they say? May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. It's a match made in heaven. May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. We can't speak Toivara. Le'nucha Ledaber Toivara. It's a match made in heaven. Gevaldik. It's done deal, right? Okay, it's time to go. No. All of a sudden, Lavan changes his tune. Let her stay here for a year or two. She's not going nowhere. What do you mean? Didn't you say yesterday, 5 minutes ago, May Hashem Yotza Hadavar? Let me read you the words of Parsha. Parshas Chaye Sara. He begins after he finally meets them. After the story unfolds, Ularivka, Och, Ushmoy Lavan. Okay, he meets them. He tells them the entire story. And then they respond. Vayehi kasha shoma eved avramas. He says, Vayan Lavan uvesuel vayomu me Hashem yotso hadavar. Lo nuchal daberi lecha ra oy toif. Right? Then what happens? Pasuk, Vayomer Achia v'ima teisha. Then all of a sudden they change their story. They eat, they have the meal, and after they have the meal, he just says, Vayomer Achia v'ima teisha if hanara yitanu yomim oy osar. Stick around a little bit. Achar teilech. And then what happens? Vayomer alehem al tachru esiv yashem itzlich darki shalchuni ve'elchol. Didn't you tell me? Still no. Vayomru nikro lenara. Let's ask her. Let's ask the girl. We don't want her to go, but if she'll want to go, we'll let her go. Vinishal espia vayikru lerivka vayomru elecha haselchi moishazev vatoimer elecha. I'm going to go. Same exact pattern of behavior. First you say, Ribbono shel olam. And then all of a sudden, Ribbono shel olam doesn't exist. It's my decision. Same exact pattern of behavior. Bilam is Lavan. Okay, now I'll give you another example. How many times did Bilam attempt to curse Klal Yisrael? 3/4. 3/4. Three times he was encouraged by Balak. Balak assists him in building the Mizbeach, and they offer sacrifices, and then he's about to curse, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the words in his mouth, and he blesses Klal Yisrael. And the fourth time was just on the spur of the moment. On the spur of the moment, he gives forth his blessings, the most beautiful. In fact, those blessings are really over the top. The blessings about Yimais HaMashiach. What's going to happen to all the nations? Incredible blessings. That's what he says the fourth time. So there are four different episodes of Bilam connecting himself to Klal Yisrael. Four times. There are three periods where they build Mizbechos in different locations. His kavanah was to do harm. And then, you know what? Hashem changes his mind. Hashem forced him to give bracha. And the fourth time that he dwells upon Klal Yisrael, on his own, he immediately gives bracha. Is it not interesting that in Parashas, in Chumash Bereishis, there are four episodes of Lavan in his encounter with Yaakov Avinu? The first encounter is when he meets him, when he meets Eliezer. Eliezer, who's the representative of Avraham Avinu in Yitzhak the Shidduch, and he says, he encounters what's going to be with the future. He encounters them, and what does he want to do? What does he really want to do? He wants to do harm. Bikesh Lavan La Kores Akol. He wanted to poison him. Right? The Chazal said he wanted to kill. Besuel died because Lavan put poison in the plate of Eliezer. He wanted to make trouble. And the end was, he tried to hold back the Shidduch. The end was, he had no choice. Rivka wanted to go. And what did he do at the end? He gave her the ultimate bracha, which is said by every single wedding by the Badekin, is Achoseinu at Hayi Lialfei Rivava V'yirash Zareich Eshar Soinav. The first encounter that Lavan has with Klal Yisrael, it is his desire to do harm. It is his desire to prevent this Shidduch from ever happening in many different ways. And what is the end? The end is he has no choice in this matter. Indeed, he was right in the very beginning. Hashem Yotza Hadavar. And at the end, what did he do? He gave a blessing. The ultimate blessing. Achayseinu at Hayili Alfei Rivava. What is the second encounter? The second encounter is when Yaakov Avinu comes running away from Esav, penniless, to marry a girl. Who does he meet? He meets Lavan. He asks Lavan around. Lavan has a daughter, Rachel and Leah. That is the second encounter. He lives with him. And what is Lavan's intent? His intent is to harm Yaakov Avinu. His intent is, even though he works 7 years for Rachel, instead he gives him Leah. But when the day is over, what happens? Yaakov Avinu ends up marrying both. He ends up marrying both, and ultimately Yaakov Avinu got the better. He got both two wives. We have to study all the details, of the parasha. But basically, when Yaakov Avinu comes and meets Lavan, Lavan was not a nice guy. He did not appreciate who he's dealing with, Yaakov Avinu. He makes him work. He tricks him. He lies to him for 7 years. He deceived him. But the end is, at the end of the day, Yaakov Avinu, he ended up marrying Leah and Rachel, the Shiftei Ka. From that came Klal Yisrael. Third encounter. Third encounter was after he had his two wives, and he worked for him another 7 years. They had a meeting. What should we do now? Should I part? Should I go on my merry way? Yaakov will leave. Lavan says, you know something? It's been your stay has been very good. The fact nichashti vayivorech Hashem li big vayivorechni Hashem big lolecha. He acknowledged that Hashem has blessed him because of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is a blessing. He acknowledged the blessing of Yaakov Avinu. Maybe that really relates back, that part of the story really relates back to period number two. Period number two, when Lavan, he tried to curse, tried to do harm to Yaakov by having married him two wives, he acknowledged that Yaakov Avinu married his two daughters resulted in a very great blessing for Lavan. And if Lavan is blessed, that automatically means that you, Yaakov, are the source of all bracha. And now they strike a deal. What's going to be for the next 13 years? And the deal is, Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to be independent, and I'll take for myself all of the damaged goods, all of the sheep that are speckled, striped, spotted, and you'll keep for yourself the premium, the high-end goods. I'll take damage, I'll go into the refurbished business. I'll sell on Amazon the used and the refurbished, and you'll sell on Amazon the new. Okay, that was the deal. And what happened? People like refurbished goods because they're cheap. So the end was, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, his third encounter with Lavan. Well, that was the third encounter. They made this business arrangement. Okay, now I didn't work out all the details, but that was the third encounter. Where do we see in this third encounter that Lavan Avinu, he acknowledged that Yaakov was a source of blessing? I think the answer is because this that he chased after him in the fourth episode is a proof that he really saw the blessing of Yaakov in the third episode. Let's jump ahead. When is the fourth and final episode of Yaakov and Lavan? When Yaakov surreptitiously escaped in the middle of the night with his two wives without telling Lavan he's running away. And Lavan found out about this 3 days later. And he chased after Yaakov Avinu. And Hashem came to him in the middle of the night and told him, don't you dare do any harm to Yaakov Avinu. Watch out. He meets him the next day. He tells Yaakov, I had a dream last night. Hashem told me not to do any harm. If I were, I really could harm. Why did you steal my teraphim? He searched for the teraphim. He can't find it. And then they make a treaty. They make a mizbeach called Galed. And Lavan kisses. And Lavan says goodbye to his children. And the last words of Lavan that we know about Lavan, very, very, the last we know about Lavan is, let me read you the words, and the parshas, Vayetzei, the final parting words of Lavan to Klal Yisrael are, Vayashkem Lavan Baboiker, Vayenashek, he kissed, Livanov, Vilivnoisov, he kissed Klal Yisrael. Who are his children? The Shifteikah, he kissed Klal Yisrael. He gave them a kiss of love, a real sincere kiss. And what else did he do? Vayivarech Hashem, he blessed Klal Yisrael. In this fourth and final departure from Klal Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu and his children, Binyamin wasn't born yet, or was he? Binyamin was not born yet. Okay, but except for Binyamin, he kissed them and he blessed them. Vayelech vayoshev Lavan limkoymai, and he went back home. So look at this. There are four episodes in Chumash Bereishis of Lavan meeting up with Yaakov Avinu. The first is when Eliezer with Klal Yisrael. The first is Eliezer, Ever Avram, the Shidduch of Yitzhak and Rivka. The second is Yaakov when he marries Rachel and Leah. The third is after being with him for 14 years, I made a mistake. After being there 14 years, he worked 14 years for his two wives. That was over. Another 6 years. There was a contract, the new meeting. There was a new pegisha to decide what we should do for the future. And there was an agreement that we'll stick it out together. We'll have a business arrangement of how to divide the goods. And Hashem, of course, blessed Yaakov. Yaakov was successful. Fine. And then the fourth episode is he runs away. And Lavan chases after and meets up with him. In each one of these four episodes, I believe you see that each time Lavan wanted to cause harm to Klal Yisrael, but at the end, he acknowledged that Yaakov Avinu, Klal Yisrael, is a blessing. The first one is clear as Dei Achaseinu Ati L'Alfei Revava. The second, you see it in the fact that when he told him later, when they went to make the business arrangement in episode number 3, he said, I want to make a business arrangement for episode number 3 because nichashti, I divined, and I acknowledge, vayivorech Elohim biglo lecha. My blessing is only because of you, Yaakov. And the third episode we know was a blessing. The third episode was because when he made this business arrangement and Yaakov ran away, he came chasing after him. Why? Because he recognized, as long as you're in my home, I'm also blessed. Toiv la tzaddik and toiv la shchena. If I have a tzaddik in my home, I'm in good shape. As long as Yaakov Avinu is together with Lavan, Lavan is in good shape. And the fourth time, clearly, what happens at the parting words? The parting words are, Vayiv, he kissed Yaakov Yisrael, Vayivorech Eshem, he blessed them. What more do you want? It's so explicit. Here in this week's parasha, Bilam, he dwells upon the existence of Klal Yisrael four times. Each one of these times, and I don't know about the end, the last time, and you have to understand what that means, but each one of these times, it was for Lara. We know the last time was also Lara because the brachas he gave at the end also turned into Klalos. Even the fourth time he gave brachas, which Chazal tell us turned into klalas, except for matoivu. So obviously he had enough good intent the fourth time either. But four times in the parasha he dwells upon klal Yisrael, and each time the end is he gives them bracha. So you see over here, you definitely do see here another connection between Lavan and Bilam. The two are, we have already given two examples. We see from the very beginning the nature is to first to say, may Hashem yotz hadavar, and then to change your mind. Just like Lavan tells the people, whatever Hashem tells me to do, I'm going to do. And then he does whatever he wants. And Hashem tells him, how dare you? How dare you? Vayichraf Hashem. Chutzpah. I told you not to go. Are you going? What kind of one time nine? And you yourself said, I only do what Hashem says. Exactly the same personality trait. And the next idea, we see that there are four episodes in Chumash Bereishis, and there are four episodes in Parshas Balak, where these two nations meet up. Lavan focuses upon Klal Yisrael here and there. Now, I want to use this to just add one more point. Chazal tell us all of the brachas that Bilam blessed Klal Yisrael, they turned into klalas. Then the only time the brachas were brachas is only when Bezman Shei Yisrael Oisem Ritzen Shel Makam. But when Klal Yisrael was not doing the Ritzen Shel Makam, then the brachas, they reverted into the original kavana of Bilam into klalas, with the exception of one brach. Which one is that? Well, we begin the davening every single day. Matoivu oiholecha Yaakov mishkenosecha Yisrael. It's the first thing that is in the Siddur. Mishikonis lebeis haknesses. The person should say matoivu. Why? Why from all of the brachas presented in this week's parasha is the only one that remains the bracha of matoivu oiholecha Yaakov? So I want to suggest the answer is, now that we know Bilam is Lavan, whatever that means, but we have established this relationship. The reason why this bracha remained is because it was the only one that was a confirmation of the bracha that Bilam, which is Lavan, gave originally. What's the only explicit bracha? At the end it says, Vayivarech, he blessed Klal Yisrael. And we know, Nichashti, Vayivarech Elokim Biglolecha, which means that you also are blessed. But where do we find an open blessing of Lavan? Achoseinu at hayi lialfei rivava v'yirash sarech eish sha'ar soinav. Our sister, may you be lialfei rivava v'yirash sarech, may your seed inherit eish sha'ar soinav, your enemies. The bracha matoivu oholecha Yaakov mishkenosecha Yisrael is the parallel to the bracha of Achoseinu. What is the oihel? The oihel is the tent ish v'ishtoi. The oihel v'yeitzei me oihel Leah. He went into the oihel of Yaakov. The oihel. He gave a bracha to Rivka. May your tents be at hayi Achoseinu, our sister. You're getting married to Yitzchak. Marriage. Matoivu oiholecha. How beautiful are the button, let's do drush. How beautiful are the private homes of Klal Yisrael. Rohu, Chazal, that's what Rashi says. Rohu, the oil doesn't mean the Beis HaKnesses, Pshut HaShol Mikra. Rashi says the oil means Roh, She'ein Pischehem, Michuvanim, Zeh K'neged Zeh. The simple translation of Matoivu oiholecha means your tents. Who lives in the tent? A husband and a wife. The families. Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, your families are beautiful. Achoseinu, our sister, you're getting married. You are the dugma of every Jewish marriage in the history of Klal Yisrael, that will be in Klal Yisrael. Is not the story of Yitzchak and Rivka the mashal, the dugma that everyone focuses on to describe what a marriage, the Shidduchim, is all about? Achoseinu, Atayi Lialfei Revava. You should be successful. And then he goes on to say, V'yirash Zareich. That is an illusion. Your seed shall inherit the gates of Soinov, of your enemies. That's a second part, is what you will accomplish in Klal Yisrael. You will build Bote Kinosios, Bote Midrashos. Matovu Olecha Yaakov, Mishkinoisecha, the Mishkonois represents the Yirash Zareich Eish Sha'ar Sainav. Your seed will inherit, meaning the nation, the element of Klal Yisrael as a nation will, besides being individual families, but the Zera will conquer the Sha'ar Sainav, Klal Yisrael will conquer other nations. That's represented in the term the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is the central location for the entire Klal Yisrael. It's not the private home. It represents the nation of Klal Yisrael. So we're trying to suggest the reason why, from all of the blessings, the only one that remained a bracha and did not turn into a kol, because this stands out head and shoulders above everyone else, in that this was a confirmation. This bracha is consistent from through to through. From the earliest time that Lavan put his eyes on Klal Yisrael, in the time of Eliezer, the Eved Avram, through now what he's seeing over here at the very, very end, the time of Balak, when he's giving a bracha, he's confirming the original bracha. Ma'atayvu Allah Yaakov Mishra Secha Yisrael corresponds to Achaseinu At Hayili Alfe Revava V'yirav Zarech Eshar Sonav. Both of these have the elements of the private mishpacha and the klal. Mr. Axelrod.
Interesting drush material. When they do bracha, the kalach, and many people have a minute before the cook starts, was zinc and kazni.
Wait, what are they? The min? What's the minig? Say again. The minig is what?
Matayvu.
When do they? When do they sing that? When do they sing that? By a wedding? Where? When? I never. He's the photographer. He knows this. So you see, they go together. They go together. It's a confirmation. Okay, it's a confirmation. You need, each one needs the other. Each one needs the other. That's why this one, they go together. Okay, that's the sugya of Matov. Okay, let's move on. Let's go on to another idea. Next idea. Chazal tell us Moshe Rabbeinu is the author of the Torah. And not only did Moshe Rabbeinu put in writing his Torah, he also wrote Sefer Bilam. And he also wrote the Sefer of Iyov. Moshe Rabbeinu, he composed three books, Sifroi, Sefer Bilam, and Sefer Iyov. What is the connection between Sifroi, and what is Sifroi, by the way? What, the whole Torah? Okay, that's the Pashup Shah, the whole Torah, his book, and the book of Bilam. What does that mean exactly? Why isn't Bilam included in Sifroi? Iyov, Mandikar Shemei. How did Iyov get into the mix? What's he doing over here? So I think the fact that Chazal put these all three together, it's forcing us to really think about what exactly this means. And I try to think about this, and the only one of the ideas I perhaps they're trying to allude to is Gesundheit. Each one of these three individuals, to a degree, was presented with the theme of Tzadik Vira Loi. What do I mean by that? Two are very easy. One is a little more difficult. Iyov, without question, experienced tzaddik. That's the whole sefer. The whole sefer from beginning to end is tzaddik vira loy. How could it be that Ribbono Shalom, I'm so good, I did everything right, I never made a mistake, the Malachim even said about me that I'm a Yorish Shemayim Ad Ma'oid, how could you do this to me? To take away my children, to torture me, how could you do this to me? Take away my wealth. That's the whole sefer. We learned it together. Sefer. It's a very, very difficult sefer. Tzadik v'ra'loi. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says that kosaf sifroi, it doesn't mean he wrote chamishei chumshei Torah. We know that. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing what we learn on Chol Hamoed of the Shalosh Shabbos Chol Hamoed. The story where Moshe Rabbeinu went up to mikabel the luchos shniyos, the kriyas haTorah for Shavuos b'Tammuz. And when he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hareini no es kivaydecha. Rashi, what's the question? Rashi on that pasuk, Hashem, explain to me the concept of tzaddik v'ra loy. And what did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. There's no answer to that question. In this world, you'll never understand the answer to this question. The best I can do for you is, I'll put you in the cleft of a rock, and v'ro'isa es acharai ufanai lo yera'u. Balak, Bilam, this week's parasha. The last brachas. Not only the last brachas, this is a bit more difficult. But when you study the entire parasha of Bilam, there is no question, Bilam is discussing the theme of tzaddik v'ra'loi. For example, I'll give you a few examples. What does he say? He says, usihi acharisi kamohu. Bilam said, halavai, I should merit to die like a Jew. And Rashi on the spot, and the Bali Musar write volumes on this idea. Yeah, Bilam wanted to die like a Jew, but he didn't want to make the investment of living like a Jew. That I can't do. Why? Why don't, if a Jew, if you came to appreciate usihi acharisoi kamohu, halavai my end, I can sit in Gan Eden, I can be in the Olam Emes, enjoy from the Binenemi Ziv Hashchina like the Jewish people, so what's holding you back? Get with the program. What's the problem over here? The answer is, it's too hard. Why is it too hard? Because tzaddik v'ra'lo. It's true, in Olam Haba, it's awesome. I can't live in this world with tzaddik v'ra'lo. In order to get there, it's just too difficult. He's deprived. That's being deprived. There are many madregos of being deprived. It's one thing being deprived. I can't eat a chazer. Okay, big deal. And then there's being deprived, rachmana litzlan, to the extreme, which means there are yisurim. Now, I'm sorry about this microphone. It's making a lot of noise. Now, to that, really, this idea really comes out much better at the end of the parasha when he describes in the fourth set of brachos, where he describes Achris Hayamim. He describes there what's going to happen to all of the nations, to Amalek, to Edom, to the. You have to go through all the psukim. And you go through the psukim, go to the Rashis, what's going on over there is, in the end of days, everything's going to fall into place. The nations that deserve to be destroyed will be destroyed. Those who deserve to be rewarded will be rewarded. There's a zman of hashlamas gemul, a time of you get what you deserve. Payback, but reward also. Klal Yisrael will get what they deserve. The Ummah Yisrael will get what they deserve. There is, everything makes sense. Even though now we live in a very small slice of time and it's impossible for us to appreciate tzaddik v'ra'loi, but in the big picture of things, hatsur tamim pa'aloki chol derachav mishpat. Now you'll ask, but how could it be that Bilam was zoichet to have an understanding more than Moshe Rabbeinu? When Moshe says, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, it's not a kasha, because Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem says to Moshe, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. You can't see me. You can't have this understanding. I mean, you can explain to a person in words to understand theoretically what it means, tzaddik v'ra'lo, just like Bilam. But Bilam, the Torah emphasizes, he is noifel ugluy enoyim, which is a euphemism to mean blind. Ugluy enoyim, the Rashi says, is a euphemism. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the revelation of what's going to be in the future and all of these events, he was unconscious. He was noifel. He was flat on his back. Ugluy enoyim, his eyes were closed. Ugluy enoyim is a euphemism. He was blind in one eye. And the other eye was saying, ugluy enoyim, that was the level of nevuah that he was able to achieve. He was nothing more than a tool. He was unkind. It was begeder mace. In that matzav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing him the theme of how everything falls into place. Tzadik v'raloi, rasha v'toivloi. But to be Yirani Ha'adam, the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was such that Moshe Rabbeinu, Rambam says, he saw nevuah when he was awake, when he was conscious, when he was standing. Not like the other Nevi'im who were lying flat on their back and were unconscious. Moshe saw the nevuah alive and well and vibrant. That Hashem says to appreciate tzaddik v'ra'loi in such a level of being alive and conscience and seeing for real, that is impossible. And Iyuf is the one who actually experienced Tzadik Viralai. Bilam didn't experience, but he was put out. He was Ke'ilu Meis, Geluy Noyim, blind, lying flat, Noifel, and Hashem gave him an appreciation of what it means, Tzadik Viralai, Rosh Avitavloi. Memela, we now understand the relationship between these three. Moshe Rabbeinu, what bothered him to no end was, he said it to Hashem, Hareini no es kivaydecha. And Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, the best I can do for you is put you in a rock, I'll pass by. Moshe wrote that section of Parshas Yisro in a separate book. There's a lot to learn there about Tzadik Viralai. Moshe also wrote the story of Iyov, because Iyov was the individual who experienced Tzadik Viralai to the greatest extreme. Moshe Rabbeinu, he also wrote the story of Bilam, because Bilam also merited to see the theme, the concept of Tzadik Viralai and all the visions that are presented in this week's parasha, where he himself said, that says it all. That really says it all. It summarizes everything. I want my end to be like Klal Yisrael, but not the way I live now. Now I want it to be a Rasha V'Toivloi. Rasha V'Toivloi, the end is not going to be good. I wish I could instead be a Tzadik Viraloi, I could be a tzaddik at the end of the Ulam Emes, Acharisoi, but that means now it's going to be for me Raloi. I can't deal with that. And the Nevuos expressed that idea in many different ways of how everything in this world comes together. These three parashas share in common the theme of tzaddik Viraloi. Okay, let's go to another quick vart to wind down. Okay, last var. This is the var, the beginning, the short var, beginning with the story for Shavas the Ben HaMetzarim. Rashi over here says something that is fascinating in this parasha about the mizbechos that Bilam built. Incredible Rashi, awesome Rashi. Who knows if we would ever take note of this if not for having Rashi reveal this incredible piece of information. Bilam, Balak hired Bilam. Bilam says you just don't go curse Klal Yisrael. You have to make a chonis. He was a Grois Rebbe. He was a Grois Rebbe, Bilam. Hachonis. You have to make preparation. What are the hachonis? We have to build 7 mizbechos. 7 mizbechos. Rashi is the kasha. My high, 7 mizbechos. Build 1 mizbeach. Don't build a mizbeach. Why 7 mizbechos? Rashi says, why don't you count the number of mizbechos that the Ovos HaKadoshim erected? And you will discover they built a total of 7 mizbechos. Rashi counts and he quotes the psukim. He counts them. Avraham built 4 mizbechos in his life. Yitzchak built 1, and Yaakov built 2. Each mizbeach obviously represents something very different, very unique, and very special. Bilam, if he's going up against Klal Yisrael and his arrogance, I recognize the nation I'm trying to overtake. I'm going to match them. I'm going to also build 7 mizbechos. And we could assume that the kavonos that he injected into the building of these mizbechos and the sacrifice that were offered directly related to the unique avoda of the ovos in regard to each one of these 7 mizbechos. Okay. Now, we come to Tisha B'Av. The first kina. The first kina on Tisha B'Av, we say by day, discusses, mentions the 7 mishkonos that Klal Yisrael merited to have in its history. And they are the mishkon of Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 years. The mishkon was, there was a mishkon established in Gilgal for 14 years. Then there was a mishkon established in Shiloh for 369 years. And then there were 2 more, Noiv and Givon, for a total of 57 years. And then there was the Bayis Rishon for 410 years, and the Bayis Sheni for 420 years. 7 structures, communal structures for Klal Yisrael, upon which there was the Hashroas Hashrina. And this is mentioned in the first Kina we recite on Tisha B'Av in the morning, Kina Vav. The 7 Mishkanos, the 7 Mishkanos, then these 7 names, period. And then the end of the Kina, it alludes to the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Shlishi will be number 8. And that's going to be the end. That's going to be eternal. So I want to make a suggestion, is that the seven Mishkanos that we have in Klal Yisrael, Mishkan of Moshe, Gilgal, Shiloh, Neiv, Given, Bayis, Yishma, Yisheni, Maise Ovoi Simin Labanim, corresponds to the seven Mizbechos that the Ovois have built. The Koyach of the Mishkan was the Koyach of Avram's first Mizbeach. The Koyach of Gilgal was Avram's second Mizbeach. And you can draw parallels, but not now. The Koyach, the third, the third Shiloh corresponded to Avram's third Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach of Noiv corresponded to Avram's fourth. The Mizbeach of Givon corresponded to Yitzchak. And the Mizbeach of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, Yaakov Avinu. And if you want to study, you can find very fascinating parallels between these seven Mizbechos of the Avos and the Koyach, Maise Avos Simin Labanim. This was the blueprint. This was the foundation. The Koyach, the spiritual foundation, in order that we can have seven Mizbechos, seven Mikdashos. Now the question is, now, what about number 8? Where then will the Bayis Shlishi draw its source of sanctity, if this thesis is correct? Well, in the Torah there is an 8th Mizbeach. But who built that 8th Mizbeach? The 8th Mizbeach in the Torah is the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu build the Mizbeach? Not the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is already the first. It's already too late. Har Sinai. As we say, it says the famous Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach on the foot of Har Sinai. And in fact, in the Karboni Lachmi L'Sharech Nechitish Rolim Modo, the Yabarim Zeru Yesher Shatilu Kivos Mishnah, Bahar Sinai, the end of the parsha of the Talmud Shel Shachar is Bahar Sinai L'Reach Nichoyach Yishel Hashem. The Talmud was offered for the first time on the foot of Har Sinai on the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built. What is unique about Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach relative to the Mizbeachos of the Avos? It was built on a foundation of Torah. The Avos built the Mizbeachos before Matan Torah, even though it's true that the Avos were Mekayim Kol Torah Kul before it was given, but the fact is, the Torah was not yet given, we're not yet Mitzvah Yoseh. The Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was built on a Mesorah of the Avos, but was built together with Kabbalah Satorah. The third Beis HaMikdash is rooted in the Mizbeach of Moshe. A Mizbeach rooted in Torah, together with a foundation of the Avos, is eternal, cannot possibly be destroyed. It's a different darga, a different type of Mizbeach, because it has the Kedusha Torah. It's interesting, when did Torah develop? We always had the Torah. Torah always existed, there's no question about it. But when did Torah really blossom and develop? After the Churban Bayis Sheni. They observed Kol Torah Kula. But the Torah Shebal Peh, the Mishnayos, Gemara, it blossomed, it mushroomed after the Churban. Why? Because in order to come to the Bayis Shlishi, it's a different Mizbeach. It's a Mizbeach that's built upon the foundation of Moshe Rabbeinu, this Mizbeach that was built on Har Sinai. Ishei Rech Nerech LaHashem, that Mizbeach. Oh, that's why as a Hachana to the Bayis Shlishi, we have 2,000 years of development, expansion, of appreciation. Almo of the Haaretz. Shlei Beruch Hu B'Torah Tchila. It's to now fully appreciate Torah, to build the Bayis Shlishi upon the 8th Mizbeach. This is a dear, we all have a wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful fast, and Yiras Hashem, Monday will continue.